the buzzer after hours. Who says nothing good happens after 2 a.m.? Music, stories, just dropped releases, the after party, dates from hell. Nothing is taboo. Join us Wednesdays, after hours.
Here today, tonight, actually, Buzzer After Hours, second episode, we have Mike Penny from the Jailbirds, and Mike is going to give me a singing lesson. I also talk about the stellar vocal and guitar training that he has offered. Hi, Mike. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm pretty good. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you. I saw your post on Facebook, and I thought, wow, I'd love to hear more about it because it's something I'm really interested in. I can't sing worth a damn. I'm one of those people that pretends to mouth the anthem. Honestly, yeah. I don't even sing in church when I go.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I pretend.
Fair enough, yeah.
But for some reason, one of my children, my daughter, like, sings like incredible, like, and she sings Acapulco. So I didn't say that right, did Acapulco?
Acapella.
Oh my god, I'm an Aquarian, so I always mispronounce stuff. Anyway, so she, and she stopped a busy like venue. They've been chattering, and she starts to sing, and it's just you could hear a pin drop. She's incredibly talented. Yeah, but she's around your age too.
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about your lessons. Give me a short rundown of what you offer, and then we'll talk about some of the details.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been teaching for a long time, one way or another. I started teaching when I was doing Taekwondo when I was a teenager, and I started teaching classes and stuff like that, large groups of people or small groups of people, a wide variety of ages and stuff. So I kind of got comfortable with the whole idea when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just, I always liked it too. It was just something I got like satisfaction out of helping others, figure this thing out kind of thing. Cause I'm the kind of person that has to know how things work, you know?
Yeah.
And so like,
I get that.
And so like, I need to dissect things sometimes and just like figure out how all the inner workings go. And, the same goes for guitar playing and singing for me. So like, I'm a huge advocate for taking lessons with anything musical, or with anything, you know, that's skill related, of course. Just because like there's so much value in learning from someone else's perspective and learning from someone else's like experience, you know what I mean? Cause everyone has different perspectives and experiences, and if you can somehow like tap into that or like take note of that and kind of make it your own thing, I think it's really, really valuable. So like I've personally like been taught by a few different vocal teachers, and one in particular for the past six or seven years, I guess.
Wow.
His name's Jason, and I met him. I used to work at Long & McQuaid years ago, and he worked there too. And I was like I started to sing in the band at that point, because for the longest time I was just kind of doing some backup vocals, and I took some lessons just kind of know what I was doing, but I was a guitar player and I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to be a vocalist, right? I was a guitar player. That was my thing. And so long story short, I got tired of trying to find a singer, basically.
Yeah, so, that's an ongoing problem with some bands.
Yeah, you know, you hear that kind of thing all the time, where it's hard to find a singer, you know what I mean? And I was basically like I would be writing the lyrics and melodies, and so I'd be you know, portraying it to the singer, whoever it was. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what, why don't I just do this myself? Why don't I just try to figure it out? I wasn't really confident with my voice, right? Cause like the whole thing was, my voice is very clear. If you listen to our music, it's, you know, it's not distorted at all. And it's not a sound that I'm able to create with my voice. And with rock music, you know, a lot of guys, like 99% of guys are, you know, singing with some sort of grit in their voice, right? Some of my favorite singers, right? Chris Cornell, Axl Rose, Ian Gillan, all those kind of guys, they sing with some grit in there. It's kind of a commonly done thing, right, in rock. But anyway, so it kind of like discouraged me because, you know, I try to sing and I can't do that. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I can't be a singer. I'll just stick to guitar. That's kind of what I thought. And it wasn't, I actually started listening when I discovered Miles Kennedy, the singer for Alter Bridge and Slash's band. That's really who inspired me to take lessons and to take it seriously. And just to really give me the confidence to even sing at all, really, is because he has such a clear voice as well. Right. And he's singing over this heavy music and it sounds awesome. And he just has such a way of doing it and with all the harmonies and stuff. And it's so cool. And I always really admired that about him and the fact that he takes it so seriously. And I remember one time, like, I don't know if you know much about Miles Kennedy, but
not actually a lot. Sorry about that.
Oh no. I mean, it's all good. He's really well respected in the musical, in sort of like the singer's sort of realm, I guess you could say, just kind of by everybody in the music industry, I think, because he's so consistent with his voice and he takes so much care into, preserving it and making sure that the show is as best as he can do it. And it's so inspiring to watch. Like at one time I saw Alter Bridge, actually, I think it was the first time I ever got to see Alter Bridge, and it was in Ohio. It was like some big festival, Rock on the Range, I think it was called. And, so long story short, we saw Alter Bridge, but before the show, they were doing this sort of meet and greet thing. Everybody lined up and you could get some stuff signed by them and meet Mark Tremonti, the guitar player in Alter Bridge. And then, Miles was going to be there too. But what was interesting is their manager walked through the whole lineup beforehand and he told everybody, hey, you're going to meet Miles and, you know, you can get your thing signed and whatever. And, but he's on vocal rest right now. So he's not going to talk. He's not going to be speaking at all. And I was just like, holy shit. Like, you know, he's first of all, like if to me, that was like mind blowing because he cares that much about the fans to do the meet and greet thing, while he's doing his vocal rest. You know what I mean? Like he's in his 40s, you know what I mean? Singing, you know, 300 days a year, right? Like he's got to make sure he's taking care of himself, but he still puts that effort into the whole thing with meeting the fans and, you know, taking that. And sure enough, you know, I met him and he didn't speak and he was very cool about it. You know, he smiles and he's, you can tell he's such a genuine guy and he wants to talk. Like you can tell, like he wants to talk to you, but he's just like, I can't, you know, I gotta make sure the show's good. And then, you know, you see him a couple hours later on stage and you're like, shit, like that's why he does it. You know, like it's incredible. And, yeah,
that would be, explain about vocal rest.
Vocal rest is just, I mean, it's, you're just resting your voice in terms of like, cause when you sing, sometimes maybe you're doing something that isn't, you're not able to do it all day long, right? You're going to hurt yourself. Especially when you're singing like a 2-hour set or something, right? It's pretty taxing on your voice, especially to do stuff like Miles or you know, guys like Axl Rose and stuff like that, singing all these high notes. It's pretty taxing on your chords. So a lot of guys, what they'll do is they'll just not talk all day and it just preserves their vocal cords basically. And Miles is like a prime example of that. I've heard, from interviews and stuff that he will carry a notepad around with him to communicate with his team and stuff. Because he takes it that serious. You know what I mean? He wants to go up on stage and I've seen it. He wants to kill it every time. You know, I've seen him like probably like 25 times or so. I can't remember, mostly with Slash, cause they come to Canada the most, but, the thing that is always for sure with him is that he's going to, sound awesome. You know, I've seen him play when he's sick and he still sounds amazing. Like it's pretty incredible. And, that's still, yeah, like vocal rest is super important. Because sometimes, you know, bigger bands would have maybe more resources to have a better monitoring system. And so you can hear yourself better, but a lot of the younger bands, especially like when we were playing, like, and we still, you know, are playing like bars and stuff like that, where they might not have the best monitor system, right? So you can't necessarily hear yourself that well singing over these loud drums and amps and all these things. And so what happens a lot of the times, people burn out their voice because they're pushing too hard, right? And they don't have to. And then it builds up bad habits. You don't even realize you're doing it. Because singing, I mean, well, I guess we should dive into that. Really, singing, the whole thing with singing is everything is about no tension. You know, tension is the thing that gets in the way of you singing. So it's all about removing tension, you know, and it's like you should be completely relaxed when you sing. And it's like you see a lot of guys and they look like they've got, you know, the vein popping out of their head and neck and stuff like that. And it might sound good, right? But that kind of singing really isn't sustainable. And you can see that kind of example amongst a lot of different singers. Like, you know, they, especially like screaming singers, you know, they don't really have, you can't really do that your whole life. You're damaging your vocal cords, whether you, you know, people think there's like a technique to scream properly. And there might be like a technique to scream the best way, but you're still screaming, you know, and it's, you're still rubbing your vocal cords together, creating blisters and stuff. That's basically what happens. And then you know, it's like a scar. You scar your skin and now it looks a little different, right? It's, you can see the scar right there. It's, you know, it's, what's the best word for it? I don't know if deformed is really a good word, but it's like, it's different now, right? The same thing happens to your vocal cords. If you do that enough, it doesn't work as well, you know?
Yeah. It makes a whole lot of sense. It's a simple, but, I guess my question was because, like it's vocal rest is vocal rest. And, of course you're going to get the tension and, the scars, as you said, and stuff like that. But how does the singer determine the amount of vocal rest that is needed?
That's really, yeah, because everybody's different, right? So your body is your instrument. So it's not kind of like a guitar where you can be like, oh, do this and then it'll happen. There are some general rules for sure, but it's one of those things where you kind of have to figure it out for yourself. It really depends on like, you know, what kind of music you're singing, what kind of things you're doing to your voice. Maybe you're not singing every day. Maybe that's not your goal. Maybe you don't want to go on tour and sing 30 days in a row or something, right? It all depends on your specific situation. But I think like it's about listening to your body, really. So you'll know when you're not 100% with your voice. It's one of those things where you wake up, you know, and maybe you're gravelly or your throat's a little sore or you're talking and maybe it's your voice is cracking or something like that. Maybe, that's when you would want to take vocal rest. And really it's like for me personally, when on a singing day, I don't not talk or anything like that. Cause I'm still in my 20s, so I can get away with it. So, you know, and that's a huge thing.
Aren't you lucky?
Yeah. And so, you know, I do take extra care, like before the show, I won't talk too much, especially in a loud bar. That's the big thing is people. And it's tough sometimes because I want to talk to people that, you know, just saw the show or, are about to see the show or something like that. And they want to talk and it's like, I want to talk too, but I can't, you know, and it sucks sometimes. It really does because, I feel like I should take like a megaphone with me or something so I can whisper into it or something. Cause I don't want to talk too loud. I've done that before where, you know, you're kind of yelling at in the bar over the music or something,
oh, yeah,
right? To talk to people. And then you just blow out your voice, you know, and then you get up on stage. You're like, shit, I'm already tired. Like, you know? So yeah.
You guys, you always carry around a notepad.
Yeah, I should. Eh? Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was thinking it'd be kind of funny just to have like a t-shirt that said like, sorry, on vocal rest or something. I could just wear it after the set or something and just point at it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. But, you know, usually after a gig, the fans are really pumped up and they really want to talk. So that would be challenging.
Oh yeah. No, it definitely sucks a lot of time. I have to leave it up to the other guys sometimes, or, I'll just like one of my tricks is to just kind of like put myself in the proper situation so that I can talk quietly. Like instead of me hanging out right after the show, maybe in the bar venue or whatever, like yeah. I'll maybe go outside or something like that. Right. It's just easier that way. Right. And then I can still talk to people and stuff. Cause it's a huge part of my whole kind of thing with playing shows and doing this whole this whole thing is keeping my vocals on par.
Well, I can see that just from my own experience. A couple times, actually more than a couple times, I've gone back after a gig to meet up with the band and interview them. And the frontman or singer is very a lot more quiet than he is on stage. I thought tired, not, but I never specifically thought, okay, it's on vocal. He's on vocal rest or she's on vocal rest. Makes a lot of sense that you explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you know there's only so many hours in the day, right? And you gotta give your vocals, you know, give your chords as much time as they possibly can get to heal and maybe just relax for a bit. I mean, the goal is to sing and not hurt yourself at all, right? But we're human and we have only a certain amount of energy, so there's a certain point where you're just tired, you just need to rest.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I have a background in bodybuilding, and I understand you need to do split days and stuff like that. So sort of the same way. So let's just, I want you to describe your classroom in terms of somebody contacts you and say, hey, I'm interested in vocal or guitar. You can talk about, because you do that as well. How is it online? Is it done virtual through Zoom or through another platform? Like what can they expect?
Yeah, every lesson that I do now is online. I used to teach through a couple of schools like years ago, but for now everything's online. So I mainly do just like through Facebook video call. I find that one has, it has the best audio as far as I've seen so far, just like for a simple, hey, quick call and stuff like that. It doesn't seem to compress too much, and all that stuff. So yeah, that's kind of what I do. And then, I mean, I would prefer to be in person for sure, but I've been surprised with how successful it's been virtually. I was a little like hesitant because I'm like, you know, it's just not really the same thing as being in the room with somebody and, you know, being able to show them something like right there. It's definitely a barrier, but it's been a lot better than I thought, to be honest with you. And it's been a lot of fun getting back into lessons, because I've never taught vocal lessons until recently. It's something that I'm still learning, you know, even guitar as well. Of course, there's never an end point. But you know, it's one of those things where I want to do more music stuff. So, you know, it's fun. So I like I said before, I like teaching. So, it's not just, it's something that I actually enjoy doing. So
how would you describe yourself as a teacher? Like what characteristics do you have?
Really like the main things I try to focus on when I'm teaching is like positive affirmation and followed up with just like straightforward, here's what you should work on, you know? Cause I find like that yields the best results. And I'm really try to be patient with everybody. Of course, you know, it's like everybody has different learning styles and learning timelines and stuff like that. And so it takes me, you know, a while to learn something too. And it's just like, you know, it's all for the fun of it. And that's, that brings me to the other main point that I try to keep on when I'm teaching stuff is just keeping it fun. Cause like, I remember when I was learning guitar at first and you get the book with all the basics in it and stuff, and you're going through and it's really boring, you know, and it's like, no one wants to do that. Especially when you're 13 and stuff, you're just like, and maybe some people like it. That's wonderful. I wish I was like that, but I'm not. So, I feel like a lot of people share that with me. So, I tend to, for example, like with guitar, and it goes for vocals as well. Like we'll pick a song that the student wants to learn. Even if you think, you know, it's maybe a song that's challenging, or maybe you think, oh no, there's no way I could do that. We could simplify it too, right? That's what I try to do, is come up with something we can do to play to your favorite song. And then it makes it fun, right? And then along that process of learning that song, along that way, I kind of go, okay, well, here's why this works, and here's how it's here's the inner workings of this, right? And it kind of, for me, when I was learning, that's what really sparked my interest, is like I would learn a Guns N' Roses song or something on guitar, and then my teacher would show me that lead part or whatever it was. And then after he saw, I was like, okay, this is sick. I was excited. Then he would go, he's playing this scale or he's doing this and or whatever it was. And then I'd be like, oh, okay, that's awesome now. And so that's really what kind of got me into it. And I've had some success with that, with teaching with my students too. Cause like it's really about keeping the fun, honestly. Cause like no one wants to be bored playing guitar or singing. It's all about just, I want to have fun with this. I want to be able to do it, you know? So dive head first, learn the things all on the way. Right.
I agree with you on, I first started, guitar lessons and, I quit. He was a negative Nancy. Like it was it wasn't fun. Continued for a bit, but working with a teacher that just wasn't fun and didn't do what you do. It was interesting to see. I'm sure that your students enjoy your classrooms.
I definitely try to make it fun. So yeah, hopefully everyone's having a good time.
That's good. So how do you develop the singing voice?
Yeah, so it all starts with learning how to breathe properly. And really, like, the way that I learned was kind of from the ground up, right? And it seems a little obvious with some things, but singing really, the main points are your breathing, how you're setting up your muscles, basically, so, like, your tension level and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, things like opening your mouth and dropping your jaw and all that kind of stuff. It's all working parts. It's just like a guitar with the strings on it, right? It's all like everything goes into it. So, staying hydrated, things like that, you know, the bare bones of singing are basically that. And, so how we develop it is first, you learn, you know, what is a proper breath, right? Breathing in with your diaphragm. I'm sure you've heard that maybe before, singing with your diaphragm, all that kind of stuff. All that means is that you're not, I guess the best way to put it is when you breathe, you're not inflating your chest, you're inflating your stomach, right? So like your posture is good. And everything is in your abdomen. You know what I mean? And that's like kind of your air tank reservoir there. And so you develop it by just first understanding how you take your first breath, how you then exhale it. Every note that you sing, it should feel like an exhale, right? It should feel like, right? Like that's all it is, right? With a note on it. You shouldn't feel any tension in your neck or your throat or your face, your shoulders, all of those things. Shoulders up is relaxed. And then you've got a little bit of like a flex with your abdomen. That's where your power comes from. That's what people mean when they say sing from the diaphragm. Everything above the shoulders is relaxed and just tension free. And then you've got your abdomen is like your air tank. And then you've got that, like flexed basically, you know, tight. And, that's your foundation right there. So you work on it first by, like I said, you do that, you learn how to breathe properly. And then you just start executing it on notes. And a lot of people just kind of start doing it with scales and stuff. Like the major scale is a great way to start. You just kind of sing along with the notes and you can find out what your range is and stuff. If you want to do it on a piano and stuff like that too. And you kind of just work from there. I find it's really good to have a teacher with you because I found that with singing, like I tried to learn from like DVDs and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really great, but without someone watching me do it, it almost didn't really make much of a difference because I didn't know what the feeling was supposed to be. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where singing is about remembering the feeling of how it's supposed to go. You know what I mean? So, hearing yourself in your head changes depending on where in your range you are. And so some people tend to push harder in spots that they don't need to just because of how they sound in their own head. Mm-hmm. And that's what ends to, you know, you're getting tired quickly and stuff like that. But yeah, like the whole sort of, where was I going there? the whole sort of, development process there is just like working your way up with the scales, finding, and yeah, like I was saying before with having a teacher there, like it's about keeping foundation the whole time with your abdomen and stuff like that. And so I was releasing that and not even realizing it, because there's a lot of things to keep track of when you're singing at first, when you're learning all these concepts, right?
Yeah.
There's a million things that you're thinking of, right? So you're going to forget a couple of things here and there. And I always find it so beneficial to have someone there to say, nope, you forgot this. You need to maybe drop your jaw more or something else like that. Because a lot of the time you don't even realize that you're doing something sort of bad for your voice. You don't even, a lot of the time you have no idea that it's even going on. And then you'll find yourself going, why do I not, like, why can't I hit this note today? I don't understand, like, what's going on. Yeah. So that's why I think having a teacher is great, because they're the ones that have the outside perspective on you, right? They're the ones that can pinpoint maybe what's going wrong. And yeah.
Well, I have a challenge for you. Okay. Because we're going to do a sample class where you take on this host and I can become a student, even though I'll probably kill everybody with my sound. I have, I forget the scientific word, I have ringing in my ears. How do you work around that as a teacher if a student has that? I think it's
tinnitus.
Tinnitus. I have that.
I have tinnitus too.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
So is it common? It's
pretty common. A lot of people don't even know they have it, I think. And it's one of those things where maybe for me it's not too bad. And it came from, you know, sitting beside a guitar cabinet for too long when I was younger. Now I wear earplugs, but it's
I came from rock concerts.
yeah, exactly. I wear earplugs to concerts now too.
Yeah.
I got used to that, because it is weird at first, you know, but you can also get some earplugs that don't block out the high end as much, which is mainly the reason why people don't like it as much. It sounds so muffled and weird. You can get better earplugs now. So definitely do that if you're listening. It's super beneficial.
I never thought to, you know,
especially if you're a singer too, because like you got to be able to hear yourself and stuff like that. Although a lot of the hearing yourself with singing is in your own head too. So, definitely, hearing goes into it. With tinnitus, I mean, I guess it would depend on, I don't really see it being a super huge obstacle, with singing, unless it was like, so loud in your head or something like that, that it was maybe interfering with the notes that you're singing. But I don't personally know anybody who has it that bad, at least. I don't know.
No, I don't have it that bad. It's just there. Yeah. It's just there. And it's usually only there when I'm very overtired.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like an overtired thing, or maybe I'm laying in bed at night and everything is super quiet all of a sudden. Yeah. And then I realize it's there or something, right? It's one of those things.
I just was interested because I've interviewed other artists that they'd had it a bit more advanced or severe, and they had challenges, but they worked around it. And I decided, as a teacher, I was wondering if you have it. So, okay, so you become my teacher and teach me. Let's just do, I guess you want to do just a sample first class?
Okay, so yeah, so we're going to take you through a quick little, like, 3-minute lesson here, just to kind of get you started, to give you a taste of what's to come or whatever, if you were interested.
I'm thinking 3 minutes of this is a long time for me when I've never sung in public. Okay.
I mean, when I start showing people how to sing, the we actually don't really in the first lesson, we honestly don't sing that much. It's more about just like some concepts and just breathing.
Okay.
Because really everything with singing is about the breath. If you don't have a good breath, you're not going to have a good note. You know, it's as simple as that.
Okay.
A lot of the concepts with singing, and this is just exactly how I would explain it to a first time student as well. The whole concept of singing is really like kind of going against maybe some of the habits that you've built up during your life, singing improperly or whatever, mm-hmm. because it seems that the natural instinct to sing is against the rules, really, because naturally when someone maybe goes for a high note or sings in general sometimes as well, they tense up, right? They tense up their throat or their neck, and they're trying to control the note, right? That's a natural thing to happen. Everybody, every singer on the planet struggles with that, you know, natural tendency to do that. Mm-hmm. It's just what your body wants to do. So you have to train yourself out of it. That's the whole point. You have to get used to the feeling of singing without all of those things in your way, because really you are the biggest thing in the way of you singing great, right? It's okay. All about your tension, you know, other things as well, like drinking water and stuff. Staying hydrated is huge for singing, because again, like your body is your instrument. So it's kind of like leaving your guitar out in the snow overnight or something, right? Like you wouldn't do that. So, you treat your vocal cords in the same sort of way, right? You know, you gotta watch what you're, doing to them. Right. So yeah, really, like I said, everything is about the breath. So the first thing I would show you is just how to breathe. And so you got to make sure that you're sitting up straight. If you're standing or if you're sitting, that's fine. Just make sure that your back is straight, right?
Yeah, it is.
And so the initial breath, we're going to over-exaggerate everything that we do, right? Because basically the whole concept with that is we're going to over-exaggerate what we do here. And then when you're actually singing a song, right, you're able to have some headroom, basically, right? Have some, you're able to pull it back a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't always want to be singing at your limit. That's the point. So anyway, so your back is straight. Make sure that when you take this breath, everything is from the abdomen. Your chest isn't enlarging from the air, right? It's already like posturous or whatever. And so you drop your jaw, your tongue is against the bottom row of teeth, right? That's super important as well. And I'll explain that in a minute. there's a lot of weird things. Yeah, for sure. And so, yeah, you drop your jaw, make sure it's all in your abs, and tongue against your teeth. And you just take a big breath, just like I did there. That's all it is. It's super simple, but it's about how you set it up, because it's all about the setup, right?
Really? How could I possibly sing while my tongue's stuck to my tooth?
And that's exactly the thing, is that is one of the things that we have to get in the habit of doing. Because a lot of tension that the reason why tension will make your singing worse is because it's literally closing your throat up, right? It's contracting your throat muscles. Therefore, the passageway, if you think about like a tuba or a trumpet or something, right? Your neck and your mouth and all that, that's the passageway for the air, just like the bell of a horn, right?
Yeah.
It's the same concept. So if you're tensing up your tongue and your neck and stuff like that, you're basically making it, you're constricting the pathway of air, and therefore creating a lesser sound. Right.
Wow. So this is tongue, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. So the jaw thing, when I said drop your jaw to take that breath, that is super important to keep your jaw as open as you comfortably can, because, it again, opens your throat. It opens that passageway up. Right. And then,
sorry, I just had this vision of my husband walking into my studio and seeing me with my jaw up.
Yeah. It looks pretty bizarre. Kind of funny.
Okay. So I'm sitting up straight and I have that. So
yeah. So you've got your breath, right. And, the tongue thing is about, releasing tension as well, and I'll kind of go into that more later. But okay. Yeah, so you got your breath, and just all you have to do is exhale it, really, and make sure that it's really just a relaxation thing. Almost picture like you've just gotten home from a long day at work, and you're just like falling on your bed or something, and you're just like, like you're just sigh of relief. That's the whole vibe of this. So okay. We take our breath like that, right? Jaw is dropped, and then we just let it out. Everything is nice and relaxed.
Actually, and it's quite zenning. It's quite totally. Relaxing. Oh, wow.
Totally, yeah.
I'm going to add this to my meditation.
Absolutely, yeah. It when I'm after a gig, I'm doing all this breathing the whole show and stuff. I feel wonderful. It's like, I'm like, oh my God. Like it's all this breathing, you know, obviously I'm doing something that I love to do too. So that yeah. helps with my adrenaline, but you know, it's yeah, exactly. So that's how you should feel when you're singing, you know, every note that you sing, you should arm it that same way, right? With that big breath all in your abs, you've got your back straight, all of those things. That's how you arm the lyric you're about to sing or whatever it is. And then you just let it out, you know, and, that's really the biggest thing to get over for most singers is trusting your body to produce that note that you're about to sing. Right. Because if you don't trust your body, then that's what's going to cause you to try to tense up and control the note. Right. And, that'll actually make you off key. It can make you have a like a less full sound, all these things. It can actually really, really affect the tone of your voice. So that's the whole name of the game. So with that, really, it's all about that breath. You take that breath, it's an exhale like that. Everything's relaxed. Every single note that you sing should also feel like that. And then the next thing I would say, I was talking about the tongue thing. That's super important because a lot of tension is held in the back of your tongue. And so
really,
when you talk and when you practice, you can actually feel it. When you sort of practice this concept at first, really what you want to do is like relax the back of your tongue and your jaw and everything. And you kind of pronounce words like really slurred, right? To kind of get used to that feeling, right? And so it kind of sounds like a little bit like this, right? Kind of like you have like molasses in your mouth or something like that. I'm just relaxing my tongue. That's all I'm doing.
Okay, let me try it.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Kind of sound like you're a little drunk or something. Like,
yeah.
But it's that's how you get used to the feeling at first, right? It's kind of a weird concept. And then you have to work it up to be able to enunciate these words with your tongue relaxed with it, right? And so you get to a point where you can have the back of your tongue relaxed. Part of the trick with that is keeping your tongue against your teeth, right? Extending it out. And actually for higher notes, maybe you've seen a singer going for a super high note and they stick their tongue out all the way. That's actually a trick to get rid of tension in the back of your throat. Because if your tongue is all the way out, it's impossible for you to have tension in the back of it. And a good trick to know if that's your problem, tension in the back of your tongue or whatever, is sticking your tongue out all the way when you sing a note. And if you tend to pull your tongue back into your mouth when you sing, then you know that you have to work on relaxing your tongue. That's the whole thing.
Wow, so, this is interesting shit.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
Like, I'm blown away by it. I'm going to start reading up, man.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah, I really enjoy learning about it and teaching people about it, because a lot of people don't know this stuff. And there's some stuff that you learn and you're like, it's like a eureka moment. And then you're like, oh my God, I should have been doing this whole time. Like something as simple as dropping your jaw is huge. And a lot of people, you can see like professional singers even, you know, and they've got their mouth really kind of closed when they're singing. And it's, you know, maybe they sound great. There's anomalies out there for sure. But it's like, it's interesting to think about these things, because there's not a lot of guys in rock music that specifically, when I talk about pro singers, I'm referring to rock guys, and not a lot of guys tend to have training with that kind of stuff. You see a guy like Rob Halford, though, you know, he's definitely got training. You know, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's 70 years old, you know, and I saw them play in, I think it was August 2019, and they played in Hamilton with Deep Purple. Yeah. And oh my God, like he was unbelievable. He turned 70 like the day before the show or something, and they played Painkiller. They played all these songs and he nailed it. It was crazy good. And I was watching him and I'm like, he knows what he's doing. He's he's got no tension in his neck and everything. You can just see it. You can watch him do it, and you can hear it in his performance, right? Like, he's amazing.
Well, there's a Toronto artist, Paris Black, trained opera, classically trained, and he's a rock band in Toronto, Ontario.
Oh, sick.
He has an outstanding voice. He's putting out good music. He was a pop star when he was younger. But he's still putting out great music. You should check him out because with your interest in vocal training, you'd be blown away by some of the stuff that he has. A very strong, strong, beautiful voice.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the next step in the class?
So basically that's the first thing that we got to get used to. And so
how do I practice?
You would practice by, and usually what I'll leave it on for the first lesson is just that breath, really, and just getting used to that concept. And just the next thing I'll tell people to do to get used to breathing more so is there's a thing you can do where you lie on the ground and your back straight against the ground, right? And you take your breath as you normally would, your back straight with your jaw dropped. It's all in your abdomen. You know, your chest isn't inflating. You do it lying down, and then you actually, it's like an exercise. So you do quick breaths, right? Like, right, over and over a few times when you're lying down like that. And you'll actually feel on the back of your rib cage, like on your back there at the bottom, you'll start to feel it expand a little bit with air, mm-hmm. right? That's what you are trying to activate is that. And by lying down, it just seems to be easier to get that feeling, you know? And once you get, like a lot of things with singing, once you get the feeling, it's like a eureka thing. And you're like, oh my God, I finally got it. Like, it's just, it's not something someone can really show you. They can lead you there, but you have to kind of find it in your own body, you know? Anyway, so, so
you have to be devoted to practice just like you would with any instrument.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You gotta know what you're doing from the ground up, right? So the breath is a huge thing. And so, yeah, you're breathing in when you're lying down, and your goal there is to, expand the bottom of your rib cage on your back, right? And that's going to be like your air reservoir, essentially. You never want to be on zero and taking a huge breath, you know what I mean? You want to just be topping it up. And so that's the thing I'll leave most students on, is that initial thing we just did where you just breathe in and out as a sigh of relief, like, right? Because it's important to put a note to that exhale, even just as something as simple as that, because it starts to train you away from tensing up to produce a note, right? Because a lot of people do it and they don't even know it. And then the other thing being, lying down on the ground, finding that. And you got to do that like, you know, a few nights a week for a few, like I don't do it anymore now that I found the feeling of it. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of keep it consistent. But yeah, that's a great way to start, is doing that a few nights in a row. And then you kind of will have that moment where you're like, shit, there it is. And then you can do it when you're standing up, right? That's the whole point.
Yeah, I get that. I'm going to be doing it. Anything to better the voice. Like, I don't know if you've listened to some of the podcasts, but I have a tendency to slur sometimes, especially if I'm tired. Because of a brain surgery I had in 2017. So if I'm tired, sometimes, bleh, right? I think that even this exercise will help overcome that.
For sure.
I'm really excited about this, really excited.
Yeah, and exactly. And if you wanted to as well, I would maybe suggest doing some some simple jaw kind of warm-ups, just like opening it as wide as it can go before you do sing or talk for a long time. That's kind of what I do before a show too, just to kind of get things moving.
Yeah, that makes sense. I have done that, but not religiously. But now that I've listened to your thoughts and I heard about what you teach in the lessons, this blows me away. I had no clue. So basically anybody can learn how to sing.
I firmly believe that anybody can learn how to control their own voice. You know, you're not going to sound necessarily like, Chris Cornell or something like that, but you're going to sound like you, and that's great. And you can definitely, you don't want to sound like Chris Cornell. You want to sound like you, you know, you don't, he's, or he sounds like him. You don't want to be a copycat or something. And if your voice does sound similar to it, then that's great too. You know, you can't really control it. So whatever comes out, comes out. And I think that, you know, anybody can really learn. It's like learning to ride a bike in a way, you know, and anybody can, I think, wrap their head around the fundamentals of it, right? Because everybody has vocal cords, and you know, can learn these concepts. I think, yeah, it's fun. That's for amazing. Sure.
So it might be a question those out there listening in the dark might have. Are you specific to the rock genre, or you teach all? Because it's vocals, it could be applied to any style of music. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even really consider myself like a genre specific vocal teacher. More so with guitar, I would say, like rock more so. I do other styles of teaching with guitar as well, but with vocals specifically, yeah, you can basically apply this to anything you want. It's all the same fundamentals. Now, that being said, like, if you're singing country or versus rock versus something else, jazz or something, you're always going to have the same, foundation of singing, the same, you know, you're going to breathe the same way. You're going to have no tension the same way as you would, all those things. But the difference would be the sort of like, I call it like the accent that you sing with, right? You think of country singers, they have a lot of hard R's, things like that. Rock singers tend to have a certain type of phrasing. That's really what it's all about. So really genre specifically, like it's all about how you phrase it, you know, it's all about how you say the word. You know, if you listen to like old R&B, it's like, it's just like they have like a throatiness to their A's and stuff like that. It's just like there's a certain vibe to how they pronounce it, you know? So yeah, I would say like, if you're worried about it, you know, being like a rock, lesson or something, it's totally not, it's just like a voice lesson, you know, in general, here's how to use your voice. That's what I teach.
Yeah. I knew that. I just wanted to make sure the listeners heard it.
Absolutely,
because
yeah.
Yeah, because especially after hearing you today on the show, wow, I'm blown away. You might get some referrals from me, huh?
Yeah, hope that.
Like, that'd wow, be great. Yeah. I'm excited. Before we go, I want to thank you for spending your time to come on the show, Mike. It's really great to
have you on. My pleasure.
And, love you, music and the band's music, the Jailbirds. I saw a great show that you put on last night called Locked Up, and I want you to give a plug on the show for that. It's an incredible project you started.
Yeah, thank you so much, for having me on the show, and yeah, tuning in last night. That was our first episode ever of our new series that we're doing. It's a monthly live stream show called Locked Up, and so basically the whole premise is it's kind of like a Wayne's World style thing that we're going for in a way. We're still building it up. And we're going to have special guests on, give you an insight, into, new songs that we're writing, new things that we're doing. We're going to have segments on, you know, music news in general. And really the main bit is having special guests on. And so last night, our first special guest of all time, was our producer, Matt Grady. And so we brought him on and we kind of dissected the Pro Tools session of our latest single, I Will Move On. And that was, it was a lot of fun. Got a lot of good response from it. And, I personally love that stuff. Like when bands release, like, they can solo the guitar or the drum part in the song. I love that stuff so much. So we were like, how can we do this? So we created the show. And so it also, the idea came from, obviously it's COVID right now and everybody's at home and can't really hang out. And so it's kind of like our way of trying to hang out with our fans, you know, give people something maybe to look forward to. And we can just kind of hang out and chill for an hour or so once a month, you know, and watch some cool videos. We've got some behind the scenes stuff of us in the studio and a whole bunch of stuff that we've been like stockpiling for like the past couple of years and stuff. So.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's very well produced. You have Red Truck Pictures behind that as well.
Yeah, thank you. That's all him. That's all Cody there with Red Truck Pictures. He's basically like a band member of ours now at this point. You know, we just kind of let him do all that video stuff, and he I have no idea with that kind of thing, but he is just a mastermind. So we're lucky to have him for sure, because we couldn't do any of this stuff without him.
Yeah, I've seen his work and what he's done with you, and insane. I follow everything he does. Mm-hmm. I love him. So that's great. So thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. Yeah, thank you.
Can you just give me where they find you for these lessons?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you wanted to get started on some lessons, or you had any questions for me, all you got to do is send me an email to mikepenny94@gmail.com. That's mikepenney94@gmail.com. I don't have a website yet, but I am in the process of putting one together. So for now, just shoot me an email and I can definitely answer any questions that you might have.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Actually, you don't need to have a website to get people started. You know, dealing directly on email is really cool. People have gotten away from that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so cool. So have a great night, and thank you very much, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. You too. Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap for tonight. Episodes run every Wednesday. Who shows up or what we talk about? Who knows right now? Live on the edge. Just tune in and enjoy. See you next Wednesday. From my pad to yours, After Hours. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.